In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Saturday to you. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters. March 26th, 2022, here at First String Sports. First String Sports is the place to be, the corner of Herndon and Blackstone. Yeah, First String Sports is awesome. They've been my day one sponsors. They've been fantastic. They set me up here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. And, yeah, I'm looking at all these. Yeah, we've got people coming in right now picking up the Letterman's Jackets. We've got Kingsburg, San Joaquin Memorial, Buchanan. Yeah, this is the high school sports headquarters. So come on down to First String Sports. They are, local, and we always support local. So, yeah, I'm very, very thankful to them. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about high school sports and a little bit more. We got a great lineup today. At 10:30, I got Clovis West baseball coach Kevin Patrick. Kevin is one of the best coaches in the Central section, and Clovis West has got a really good baseball team. They're currently ranked number 30 in the state by Cal High Sports. They got a really good core set of players. I mean, a really good just. Going over their roster and look at some of these dudes. Yeah, they're very, very impressive. Jacob Haros, Tyler Patrick, coach's son. He's only a sophomore, catcher and pitcher. Caleb Latimer, Caden Munster, a junior, one of the top hitters in the Central section, committed to Fresno State. Nick Beza, committed to Fresno State, senior pitcher. Kyle Jimenez. So we're going to be talking about Kevin's journey. Obviously, his dad is James Patrick, the legendary coach for Clovis High. And Kevin played for him, and so did brother Chris. And Chris is now took over for his father at Clovis High. So, yeah, it'll be fun to talk to Kevin. Always a great conversation. He's always very welcoming whenever I show up at Clovis West and talk baseball with him. So that's coming up at 10:30. Let me go back a little bit. Obviously, every time I have my show, I think we are we're 100%, except for one time Gabe wasn't able to produce my show. But Gabe Camarillo comes on at around 10:19, and we always have fun cutting it up and talking about the local scene. We broadcasted Edison and Madera South game on Thursday night. Edison came on top 3-0, so we'll be breaking down that game. He actually did the CVC and Clovis game with Jose Gonzalez last night as well. So we'll be breaking that down and a little bit of football talk with Gabe. So looking forward to that coming up after the break. And our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week is from Kerman. Kerman Baseball. Kerman's having a phenomenal year this year. They're 11-0, and they got a stud left-handed pitcher, Devin Daniels, coming in. He's our Student Athlete of the Week. He's 6-0 on the mound, has a 0.45 ERA, got 55 strikeouts in 31 innings, headed to St. Mary's. So that's coming up at 11 o'clock. Get to know Devin Daniel a little bit more from Kerman. And at 11:30-ish, our first NFL guy. I am super stoked about this. Andre Chachere plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is a Clovis West grad. San Jose State, all-conference there, obviously. First team all-track for Clovis West. All-conference at San Jose State. Was an undrafted free agent. And he's just had an incredible journey to the NFL. I remember talking to him after he signed, right? He had signed his undrafted free agent contract with the Texans, and had a great conversation with him at that time. I think that was 4 years ago, 2018. And I've just followed his journey throughout the years, and he's got quite a story. He was, like I said, signed by Houston. Let go, signed by the Lions, let go on the practice squad, signed by Arizona Cardinals, let go, signed by the Carolina Panthers, let go, made the team as a member of the Colts, Indianapolis Colts. And he was on the 53-man roster, and we were so excited he made the team. And then they signed a bunch of free agents, and they cut him. So Philadelphia is like, all right, we're going to scoop you up. We see a lot of talent. We see potential in this guy. Scooped him up. He was with the Philadelphia Eagles for the entire year. Was a special teams demon this year. Actually got a start in Week 18 against the Dallas Cowboys. Registered 5 tackles in that game. So really looking forward to talk to Andre and his journey to playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. Get some behind-the-scenes stories, I hope. Yeah, pretty sure. Got a couple news and notes here. Clovis West girls basketball. So, you know, we had our wrap-up show last week. Had Tony Amundsen, Connor Amundsen from Clovis North. They had that great run to the state championship game, to the D1 state championship game. So I talked to them. That was kind of our wrap-up show as we turn the page and get to our spring sports. But I just wanted to mention Clovis West girls. They finished top 10 in the state again, finished 26-3. Everybody knows they won that state title in 2017 when they were the number one team in the nation as well. But Coach Craig Campbell is now sitting at 674 career victories, and he moves into the number 10 spot all-time in coaching victories, according to Cal High Sports. And they did a little research on Coach Campbell, and from what they found, he's the only coach in the nation that has won a girls' basketball championship in two different states. In 2001, he was the coach at Reno High, and they won the Nevada Large School title, and then he came to Clovis West and won a state title in 2017. So congrats to Coach Campbell for moving up. He probably didn't even know that. I don't right? This is kind of something for our stat heads, but 674 career wins. That's quite a milestone. So congrats to Craig Campbell, Clovis West girls. And then on the boys' side, you know, the boys had that phenomenal season. They finished number 7 in the state. They were the Open Division Central Section champs. They lost to Modesto Christian in the Open Division, 48-44 at home, a game that they were they're kicking themselves for losing. They only shot 9 of 23 free throws for the game. But, yeah, the Modesto Christian then made it to the state championship and gave Centennial Corona all they can handle. They were actually tied in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, Clovis West was right there. I mean, obviously they were. They finished number 7 in the state. And some people are thinking that this might be the one of the finest coaching jobs that Vance Wahlberg has done. Obviously, he's a well-decorated coach, coaching the NBA and college. And, you know, you just think about those teams in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And, yeah, there were a lot of Division I players that were on those teams. But this current team that he had didn't have any, like, super superstars, any slam-dunk Division I recruits. And for him to advance that far, for his teams to advance that far this year, was quite an accomplishment. So congrats to Clovis West boys basketball, finishing number 7 in the state. Transitioning to baseball, Buchanan, they're pitching lights out right now. Buchanan baseball, they're currently ranked number 7 according to Cal High Sports. They have 3 straight shutouts. Austin Watson and Sam Tekoyan, who signed with Ole Miss, they're throwing the ball extremely well. Yeah, they finally played a home game yesterday. They went and played some teams up north, some teams down south, took care of business. They had that big win against De La Salle. And track play starts on April 5th. April 5th is when track starts, and we'll be obviously talking about that with Kevin Patrick coming up around 10:30. So, yeah, Buchanan's tearing it up in baseball. Stockdale's ranked number 17, Bullard 29, and Clovis West is ranked 30. Speaking of Clovis West again, Eshawn Henderson, left-handed pitcher, Clovis West grad, pitching for Fresno State. Talk about lights out. This kid has put it all together. He's a sophomore, big, strong left-hander. He beat San Diego State yesterday at San Diego State in a 3-1 win. He's 5-1 on the season, has an ERA of 1.05. And his whip is 1.08, 47 strikeouts and 31 and a third innings. Eshawn Henderson, he's been named the Mountain West Pitcher of the Week twice already. So, yeah, that kid is absolutely tearing it up. I want to mention that today is one of my favorite days of the year. And I'm reminded of that because I said, I mentioned Eshaun Henderson's WHIP, W-H-I-P, it stands for something. It stands for walks and hits per innings pitched. And the reason why I say this is one of my favorite days of the year is because I have my annual fantasy baseball draft at 1 o'clock, right after show. And we do an auction. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we weren't able to get together for the last couple years. So we're going to be drafting our teams. And so WHIP is one of the categories in fantasy baseball. So I always like to mention WHIP. Anything under like 1.2 is really, really good. Anything that hovers around 1 is excellent. So Eshaun Henderson, 1.08 WHIP. Keep an eye on that guy. And I need to mention Clovis North softball. Again, we talked about them last week. They're 10-0. They're ranked number 3 in the state, number 10 in the nation. Ryan Maddox, their pitcher, is a superstar. Committed to the University of Arizona. 55 2/3 innings. Guess how many runs she's given up? One earned in 55 2/3 innings. Unbelievable. She has 108-10. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Yeah, I got cut off at the end, a couple little technical difficulties. Hey, that's what happens with live radio. So I was just talking about Clovis North softball, how they're having a phenomenal year. They are ranked 10th in the nation. Ryan Maddox is absolutely tearing it up. She's a left-handed pitcher, committed to the University of Arizona. So, yeah, I mentioned that we're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe is producing the show, writes for Barkboard, writes for the Clovis Roundup. Worked for, obviously, ESPN Radio, 1430, and we broadcasted our first baseball game on Thursday night, Edison and Madera South, and it was a game that was at Madera South, and we pumped up Murph Gray, and Murph Gray deserves it. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. He was our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, and he was on the mound against Edison, and yeah, he's got great stuff. He set down the first 12 batters of the game, ran into a little bit of trouble. The Edison score got 2 runs, and Edison's pitcher absolutely tore it up. And he pitched a 6-hitter. Gary is his last name, and Gabe and I were there to call that game. So, Gabe, I mean, I don't know. Could we call that an upset? Edison came in at 3-6. Madera South was 6-1-1 at the time. We expected a dominating game from Murph Gray. Ran into a little bit of trouble. We could tell that, you know, he's a Division I baseball player. He's going to Fresno State. He popped up his first couple at-bats and then hit a screamer down the third baseline that was caught by the third baseman that would have turned the game around. But, yeah, I mean, the story of the game, though, was Edison's young pitcher, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was kind of, I wouldn't say it's an upset, but it was definitely not the outcome I expected. I thought that when you had a senior like Murph Gray, who's going to Fresno State, matched up with a young arm like Alejandro Aguirre, you might see Aguirre make some mistakes, but the moment never seemed too big for him. On the road against a team like Madera South that's been playing well early this season, I was really impressed with how Aguirre was able to leave runners on base. I think of that sixth inning, Paul. Bases loaded, one out, a 2-run ball game, and he's able to get back-to-back outs. And the punch-out caught him looking at a curveball. Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget Cliff Rold almost running onto the field to give Aguirre a big hug because he was excited for his young guy. I think Aguirre might have a bright future if he continues to pitch that way.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. Hey, I think we got all the bugs fixed. I think we are good to go. I am your host, Paul Metters. This is 1430 ESPN, high school sports show from 10 to 12 every Saturday morning here at First String Sports. So, hey, that just means more bonus time with Kevin Patrick, head coach at Clovis West. All right. So I've seen you at a lot of basketball games, obviously football games with your son as the quarterback. Are you a March Madness guy?
I am, except my bracket didn't go as well as I'd hoped it would.
Like everybody else's.
But I love watching. I love watching the games this time of the year. It's a lot of fun. How about St. Peter's?
Gosh, what an incredible story, right? What their budget? Well, you know, they beat Kentucky in that first round. I think their entire budget for basketball is like $1.5 million. John Calipari's salary, $9 million. Right?
It's not fair, man.
It's not fair, and we love to see those Cinderella stories, those underdogs, but. You know, listening to the coach after the game, after last night's victory, he's like, no, it's not an upset, right? It's not an upset. We believe that we can win. So we always root for those kind of guys.
Absolutely.
I had Iowa going pretty far because they were hot.
Right.
Right. Who was your main team that got busted out?
I had Gonzaga. All my Final Four teams are gone, though. So.
You didn't have Kansas?
I didn't.
Kansas is looking really strong to get there. And then for your favorite pro teams, you're a Bay Area guy, aren't you? Are you your Niners and Giants?
I'm Niners, Giants, Warriors. Yep.
Niners, Giants, Warriors. Is your whole family like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we all root for the same team, so we have good gatherings when we all get together.
Well, I see. You know, obviously we follow each other on Twitter, so I see your tweets about the Niners and you going back and forth with some guys, but. Jimmy G, what do you think the future is with that
usually
guy?
Usually it's my brother that I'm going back and forth with, I don't know. It's tough. Jimmy, it seems like they tried to put him in position not to lose games, And I think what you have with Trey Lance is a dynamic quarterback who can win games with, both his arm and his feet. So I'm looking forward to the change, which looks like it's coming here shortly.
You think it's going to happen for sure?
Seems like it. I don't know. They're having a hard time trying to trade him.
They are, right?
Yeah.
Any chance you think that Tom Brady plays in the Bay Area? Obviously, he grew up in the Bay Area as a Bay Area high school guy. But what do you – any chance?
I was kind of – when the holdup on Jimmy G was going, I was kind of hoping, Brady or maybe even Aaron Rodgers. He's a Bay Area mm-hmm. guy too. I thought that would be kind of neat to have those guys in San Francisco for a year or so while Trey Lance develops a little bit more.
Yeah. And then San Francisco Giants. You've just been a Giants guy your whole life, and
my whole life, And I'm kind of waiting for Farhan to start spending some of this money that he's got. I do think they have a nice pitching staff this year. I'm not sure how the offense is going to come around, but I'm excited. What they did last year was pretty special.
It was one game behind the Dodgers, and you being a Bay Area guy rooting for the Niners and Giants. I'm basically the opposite of you. I'm Dodgers and Cowboys, most hated teams in the Central Valley for sure. Dodgers and Cowboys, but yeah, that's me. what was your favorite team of San Francisco Giants? The 10 team, the 12, the 14, or maybe a team in the 80s or early 90s.
When Will Clark was there, that's kind of when I first really started to really enjoy the Giants, and then obviously Barry Bonds after that. And then what they did in 10, 12, and 14, I don't know if I have a favorite one. Just the fact that they won a few World Series titles was pretty special, being a Giants fan and not having one, since I was alive.
Yeah. You guys got pretty spoiled around that
time.
We did
in a 5-6 year span.
Gosh, I think by the third one, I was like, okay, guys, that's good. You guys had your two. Now you got your third. That's a little bit too much.
good buddy of mine, the late Vince Wesson, he was a huge Dodger fan, so he got to wear that a little bit, So that was fun. We had some good ribbing back and forth.
Talking with Kevin Patrick, head baseball coach at Clovis West. Let's talk about Vince Wesson and what he meant to Clovis West. Unfortunately, he passed away. He was very involved in high school sports, broadcasted football games, with Ralph Wood on TV, Clovis West Hall of Fame. But, talk about Vince and what he meant to the Central Valley and Clovis West and your family.
Oh, he's just going back, 30-something years. He was my teacher at Clark Intermediate, So he was my PE teacher when I was in 7th and 8th grade. So I've known Vince for a long time. He's been a big part of my family, good family friends. But not just the Friday Night Lights stuff. Even going back, he was integral in getting the section finals to Cellon Arena, right. So he's just a huge sports fan. He really is. I mean, if he could go to a game every day, he would. He just loved watching athletes compete and he was a great athlete, great story himself. I think he was one of the few guys that was, I guess they called it All-Metro back in the day, that was All-Metro in football, basketball, and baseball. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah, and City County and all three
Absolutely.
Sports, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You don't see those guys anymore. Yeah, just a big loss for the Central Section, Central Valley. How about growing up for you Were you always a pure baseball guy, football? A little bit about you dabbled in.
My dad tried to get me to do as much as possible, really. I mean, I wasn't the tallest guy, but I actually played a little basketball too, and I was a football and baseball guy in high school. So, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. When did you – and then you played high school football, right?
I did.
And then obviously baseball. Who's your football coach?
Tim Simons.
Yeah.
The great Tim Simons.
He's pretty awesome. All right, let's talk about your Clovis West team this year. You guys are playing Pacific Grove today, right, at 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock at home. You guys are 7-2 right now. Your pitching has been lights out. Your hitting's been very good. How would you assess your team right now?
I'm excited where we are. Obviously we've got a couple losses on the record early in the season, but I think both games we actually pitched really well, you know, and if the bats come alive, those are both games that, easily could have gone in our favor. So, we just got to work on being a little more consistent offensively, and I think if we do that, I really feel that our pitching and our defense is going to be consistent all year for us.
Well, pitching, right? Looking at your stats. And thank you guys for Clovis West putting up the stats. I love that. Not all the teams put up stats. So, yeah, on Max Preps, Clovis West, you can check out their stats. But, all your pitchers have an ERA under one.
Right.
And what I noticed about your team as well is that I think your leader has only thrown 19 innings. So you got a lot of choices right there, and pitching depth is definitely a key.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. There's kind of been some gaps in our schedule, the way things have laid out, because we don't start league until April 5th. But, yes, I mean, I was talking to our pitching coach yesterday and mentioning, hey, our pitchers are going to be fresh heading into the league, because nobody's really been overused, Beza's, he actually doesn't have a win yet, but he's got two saves and he's pitched outstanding. And, but, yes, we're excited about where we are right now and what our pitching staff's done for us.
How important is having pitching depth at the high school level? Are you guys doing three games a week in league?
We are, and when you're playing three games a week in the track, especially, the pitching depth is huge, because by the time you get to that third game, a lot of teams are running on fumes in their pitching staff, and that's one area where we feel like we've got some nice depth that we can build upon this year.
Is it our games going to be what, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday? No.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Tuesday,
so
Wednesday, Friday.
All Tuesday games are going to be day games, 3:30. Wednesday and Friday games of the teams that have lights will be 6:30 games.
Yeah, so everybody has lights, but Central, right?
Correct.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about your pitchers. So Nick Beza, obviously your son, Tyler. Who else is throwing for you this year?
Christian Badger, Dylan Senaway. Those guys are both juniors, so we're real excited about. But also a new addition to our staff this year was Kyle Jimenez from Clovis North. He's 4-0, and I believe he's got 19 strikeouts and 3 walks. He's just been a great strike thrower for us, and he's a good competitor, and he's fitting in really nicely with our ball club.
And Caden Munster, he was on varsity as a freshman, right?
Yeah,
big left-handed dude.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that he's only a junior, what I mean? So he's such a big body guy and hits the ball a mile. He's one of our team leaders. He's been around for 3 years now, so he's a great kid, great family, and, obviously we're excited not only what he's going to do for us, but, the fact that he's going to go play at Fresno State also.
Yeah, it's a – did anybody get on him for not playing football? Because, again, he's a big
dude. I'm trying to – a funny story is his dad and I graduated high school together. We were on my dad's first Valley Championship team at Clovis High.
All right.
So, anyways, trying to talk mom into letting him play football, because I think he could be a great weapon. I told her, hey, who knows, he might end up playing at LSU or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Somewhere in the SEC for football.
Yeah, he's you can see him as a tight end.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Tight end, defensive end.
Yeah.
6'4", 230 pounds.
Yeah. Speaking of freshmen that played varsity baseball for you, your son Tyler was an integral part last year, got a lot of starts at catcher and pitched a little bit. I want to ask you this question. Obviously, he was a quarterback on the team this year and had an excellent season. What's easier for you as a dad/coach, watching him play football from the stands or baseball from the dugout? I worded it easier. I didn't say which one is more difficult. So which one is easier? Which one maybe, the less butterflies, I guess you could say.
Probably football, Actually, I don't know. That's a tough question. It really is. Probably baseball, actually, because I'm actually more concerned about the whole team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And football, I get an opportunity just to focus on what he's doing out there. So either way, though, they're both nerve-wracking at times.
How about mom? How's mom do?
Oh, she does. She does great. She's right in the middle. She's excited. She's got a great support system with my mom and dad too.
Yeah.
And my in-laws are in town this week, so they get a chance to watch and play today too.
Awesome. Great. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the stands though, watching football, is it hard for you to separate between dad and coach and just a Clovis West guy? Is it hard for you to separate all those things?
No, not really. I mean, I'm a Clovis West guy, so obviously I'm rooting for the Eagles, you know.
Yeah.
But it's fun, you know. I like to watch him compete out there, you know. And I think guys, you know, not just in baseball, but you know, multi-sport guys, you know, I think it's great, and it makes them tougher competitors the more sports that they play.
What year is this for you? Is this year 12 or 13?
It's my 15th year.
15th year at Clovis West. What was the progression of you straight out of college as far as, you know, getting your teaching credential and then getting into coaching?
So actually, I played baseball and graduated from Cal State Northridge. I stayed in Coach Batesel was my coach there, actually, and then I stayed and coached with him for a year. Came back here to Fresno State and got my master's degree, and then I also got hired at Reedley High School. Started teaching there. I was at Reedley for 4 years. Then I went to Madera High for 1 year, and then the Clovis West job became open, and I've been there for the last 15 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who did you know pretty quickly that you wanted to get into coaching? Obviously, you stayed with Batesel for that year right out of Northridge.
I did, and then obviously, you know, my dad did it for 100 years, so, yep. You know, and he you know, he's a great role model for me, too. So, you know, I got to, fortunately, and I played for Ron Scott at City College, too, so I've been fortunate to have some good baseball minds in my career.
God, yeah. Coach Scott, Coach Batesel, do you got any Batesel stories that you can share? What did you like better, coaching with them or playing for him?
Playing for him, for sure.
Okay. All right. Obviously, he's a demanding guy, right?
He's very demanding. He's very demanding. But, he taught me a lot, and, you know, he taught me how to hit, too, really. I mean, I was a pretty decent hitter before I got there. Once I got there, you know, he kind of taught me to use the whole field and drive the ball the other way and just some things that I hadn't been taught, you know what I mean? And he's a very great offensive-minded coach.
What about this new era of hitting coaches and swings and launch angle and I don't know, all that. I could say the word I'm saying, all that garbage that kind of is being taught. You know, when we play Kevin, I know I'm a few years older than you, but, you know, it was just try to hit line drives, go the other way, right, make contact. But it seems like a lot of coaches are getting away from that, and, you know, they're seeing that home runs are being hit in pro sports, and that's how you get your money. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say it's completely bad or wrong. I will say this, you know, to try to teach young kids to hit the ball in the air, I don't really agree with that, you know. And I think the best advice you can get if you're in the cage, you know, tell your hitter to hit the back net in the air on the line, you know what I mean? And what we tell our hitters is, you know, don't try to hit the ball over the wall. Try to hit it through the wall. You know, and if you do that, you know you're making good contact. You get a little backspin, it's going to go over the ball for you. You know what I mean? But when you try to lift, that's when you're going to, you know, create some holes in your swing, I think.
I think especially with the young guys, right? Their bodies haven't developed yet,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Bodies haven't developed. They're not strong enough. Yeah, I just think that sometimes it's a little bit too much, right? You get these fantasies in your head. And these hitting coaches, they make a lot of money too sometimes, right?
They do.
These private lessons.
You know, I'm not a guy that says, you know, that necessarily says, hey, you need to hit a ground ball. You know what I mean? I do agree with putting pressure on the defense, okay? Because if you think about it, you know, if you're striking out or popping up, that doesn't put any pressure on the defense, you know? So if you're putting pressure on the defense, you know, every once in a while, the ball's going to take a bad hop. We're going to get on base, and we're going to score some more runs. It's going to give us an opportunity to score some more runs. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of putting some pressure on the defense.
Yeah, especially at the high school level, right?
Absolutely.
I want to ask you this because, obviously, you played for Ron Scott. You played Division I at Cal State Northridge. The difference between high school, even to junior college, and then to Division I, right? What's the main difference in your eyes? Experience,
strength, you know what I mean? You know, as the bodies tend to mature, and I think at the junior college level, you might run into a good starter on the weekend. Once you get to college, you're probably going to face, you know, a couple good starters, and then you're going to see some guys that are throwing in the mid-90s at the back end of the bullpen, too. Just some more depth, I think, is what you're going to see at the D1 level.
And your playing days at Northridge, who did you compete against? You're like, oh man, that guy's a major leaguer.
I actually got to play good. I faced Barry Zito and got a couple of hits off of him. So
yeah,
that's something I can hang my hat on. Yeah. So
all right.
He was at USC. We played against them. A couple other guys, you know, a few other guys that played in the big leagues too. But Barry Zito is probably the biggest name.
He tried to get a curveball by you, or
he
what?
He did, and it's pretty nasty. So I sat on the fastball.
All right. Where'd you take it? Up the middle?
Well, if you played for Batesville, you had to sit on the fastball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Did you take it up the middle on him, or
I
what?
I actually hit a double off the left field wall. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Hang your hat on that. Let's talk a little bit more about your playing days at Clovis High. So you say you were part of the first Central Section Championship
team.
Yeah,
1995.
That was 95. Yeah, what was special about that year and, you know, that time at Clovis High? And how long had your dad been coaching?
His first year was 87, so that was about year 8 or so, right around there. So,
Anyways,
going back to my days at Clark, I had Vince Wesson in 7th grade and George Chandler, the great George Chandler. He was our 8th grade coach. So in those 2 years, we were actually 37-0 at Clark.
Wow.
So we kind of knew that we had a good nucleus group of guys that, you know, were probably going to be successful as long as we stayed together. And we did. And it was special, though. A lot of us were on varsity as sophomores. So, you know, we kind of took our lumps early. But we got better our junior year. And then our senior year, we were really good. I think we ended up 28-6 was our final record.
Who were some of the guys that you played with then?
I said Jeff Munster, Aaron Hoskins, one of my best friends still to this day. He signed with Fresno State out of high school. Had some injuries, but Mike Plohars was our second baseman. Casey Wallace was another one of our pitchers. We had a young Tony Guzman, was a sophomore that year, who ended up going to play at Fresno State. So it was a good group of guys. You know, just a lot of guys that played together for a long time.
Who'd you beat in the championship game?
We actually beat Lemoore, and their pitcher was Brad Steele.
Yeah, I remember that name. So then it was a couple years later that your brother Chris. Well, did you play with Chris?
No, there was 1 year between us. I graduated in 95. He was in 8th grade in 96, and then he got there in 97.
Okay, and then they won the back-to-back Valley Championship, state, you know, number one, national number one. So that would have been 97, 98?
Correct.
Okay. Did you go back and watch a lot of games? Were you at Northridge
at
City?
In 98 I was at Northridge, but in 97 that was my last year at City. So I got to see a lot of games that year. And then in 98 when I was at Northridge, I'd come, you know, on Friday nights, Chris was the quarterback at Clovis High. So I'd you know, after practice on Friday, I'd hustle here to come watch him play on Friday nights. And then I got to see as many games as I could during baseball. But it was tough because we were in season at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you this, too, regarding your coaching, and you've had a lot of good players come through your system. What type of players are your favorite? What are the characteristics that impress you the most?
I like to see kids, and this comes from the Batesville thing. I like to see kids that are tough and that want to compete, you know, and that are not afraid of working. You know, and one thing that I really like about our team this year is we know we really, and not just this year, we've done it in the past, but we, especially a little more so this year, we spend a lot more time in the weight room, you know, and we've got a strength coach on campus. Adam DaCosta is one of our football coaches. And plus we had Brandon Bullitt from Bullitt Performance Training train our guys a couple days a week. So, you know, just tough-minded guys that are ready to compete and get after it. That's what I'm looking for.
Talk about fitness as well, right? Weight room. I mean, that's something that's really come along the last 10 or 15 years. And you see that as really, really important in the high school game. Fitness, weight training, obviously taking care of your body, right? I mean, heck, I was talking to somebody the other day. Like, you know, I played baseball and basketball in the late 90s. After school, just do a couple curls, right? Curls for the girls, right? It looked good, and then maybe do a couple bench press, and that's it. And then go shoot hoops, or you know, go take some BP or whatever. But it's changed a little bit, hasn't it?
It's definitely evolved over the years. I mean, when I was in high school, you pretty much did bench press, did some, like you said, did some curls, some squats. Now these guys are doing things that I didn't even know were, you know, you could do with your body. You know, now it's crazy. You know, but it definitely has evolved. You know, over the years.
Yeah, yeah. Talking with Kevin Patrick, Clovis West baseball coach. Who are some of the best high school baseball players that you've seen come through the track? You know, there's a lot of dudes, and I want to talk about Eshawn Henderson in a minute as well. But there's some guys that pop into your mind really quick, either guys that you had on your team or you're like, man, we got to face this dude again.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's, well, you going back to my playing days, I had an opportunity to play against McKay Christensen. He was the number 6 pick in the draft, you know, the major league baseball draft. You know, and then getting into the 2000s, you know, Chris was a very good player. He was a central section hit leader
for a long time.
Or no, somebody broke. Somebody passed him. But, you know, and then after that, Jason Donald.
Yeah.
You know, and then you had, you know, the pitcher from Buchanan that made the big leagues.
Yeah.
Justin Wilson. Garrett Olson, another guy, you know. And then obviously Seth Miranda, who coached me for quite a few years. He was a bulldog out there on the mound. He was a great competitor. Some of the guys that I've had that I've coached, Eric Karch was a Valley Player of the Year, went on to play at Pepperdine. JD Sales was a Valley Player of the Year. You know, and then like you said, you brought up Eshawn. I remember watching Eshawn when he was in 7th and 8th grade, and I was watching. I was like, this dude's got a chance to be pretty special, you know, and he is, you know, and he really is. I think, you know, one thing he lacked then was probably great command. You know, he's probably had a few more walks than he'd like, and I think, you know, that's something he's battled, but he's worked hard, and he's getting better and better, and, you know, he's got such a deceptive arm angle, you know, and that, you know, that 90-91 probably looks 94-95 to hitters, you know, and he's got great stuff. His breaking pitch and his changeup are outstanding as well.
I think, when I watch, obviously, you know, if we go back 2 years to that COVID season, you know, the track, we were so excited about the track that year. They were going to be loaded. Every pitcher had a D1 dude. Would that have been 2020, right?
Right.
Every pitcher or every school was going to have a D1 dude, somebody that was going to, you know, run 90 miles per hour out there. And Eshawn was one of them. Like Clovis High had a Beal. Right.
Buchanan had Aon. North had Riley Cooper.
God.
You know, so, yeah, it was very... Yeah, that was one of those years, you know, we felt going into it, you kind of have that feeling it could be a special year. And we had that feeling because not only did we have Eshawn, we also had Noah Galvan, who was committed to Fresno State. And, you know, now, he's at City, and he's having a great year for them, too. So we had those two guys. Plus, we had two other guys, Eric Budd and Art Navarrete, who had been around for 3 years. So we had some really nice depth that we were excited about that year.
Yeah, that was really disappointing on a lot of levels.
Sure.
We were really looking forward
to
that season. So Eshawn, I felt like his body, obviously, I mean, he's got some God-given talent, and you know, that body, I thought it was going to project very, very well at the next level. You talk about his motion a little bit. Is he three quarters or what is he?
Three quarters, and I think, you know, when he turns his body a little bit, he kind of hides the ball from the hitters. You know, that's why I said it, you know, it gets on you in a hurry. And, he's been outstanding. It's been fun to watch him progress over the years.
How about this season in the track? You mentioned that track isn't going to get going until April 5th, which seems a little late, right?
A lot of schools have started
league already.
A week from Tuesday is when we get going.
Okay. Talk about what your team's goals this year, what you want to see during track play, and who are some of the teams that you're looking forward to play?
Well, I mean, we look forward to playing anybody, really. I mean, it's fun getting a chance to compete, but obviously it starts with Buchanan. You know, they're the defending Valley champs, and you know, they've got a lot of their pieces back. You know, they've been obviously very, very, very good here in the beginning part of the season. I like our ball club, like we talked about, our pitching depth, and I think what I want to see is just consistency, you know, with the offense, you know, and if we can mesh those together, I think we got a chance to be really, really good this year. Just everybody in the track, you know, Central's got Ryan Sbolero, who's one of the best pitchers in the Valley. You know, Clovis East, I know, is real excited about their club. Clovis High is always going to compete. And same with Clovis North, you know. So, I mean, there's, you know, some game, you know, some team, some sports, you know, you can just roll out of bed and you know you're going to win. It's not the case in baseball on the track. You know, I mean, you got to show up every day or you're going to get beat.
And Easter Classic is the 11th. Am I right on that?
Yes, we're actually going to the Boris Classic in Sacramento.
Okay.
So we're excited about that. That field is it's absolutely loaded this year. So it'll be a great test for us.
Who else is in that field?
Valley Christian, Clayton Valley, Archbishop Mitty. There's a lot of the top teams from up north are in that in the Boris.
Was that how many years ago you guys went to that Boris Classic? You guys made it the championship game.
Was that like five years ago?
We
did. It was in 2016. In the semifinals, we beat Elk Grove in 13 innings. I think it was 1-0 or 2-1. It was a one run game, and they had like four guys that are Nick Madrigal. Dylan Carlson, guys that are in the big leagues now. So that was a pretty special win for us. And then we got to the championship, and we were kind of on fumes with pitching. So we pitched a guy, and I don't think he had any appearances before that day. You know, he was our third baseman, but he pitched, and we lost 1-0 in 10 innings.
God.
Yeah, so it was. It's a lot of fun, and there's it's a great tournament.
I remember following that run on Twitter, and you guys were just – yeah, you guys were like the talk of the tournament, right?
Yeah, but
like,
the last two days we had to play 23 innings in two day, you know, for two games because we had a 13-inning game, which we won, and then we lost a 10-inning game. So
yeah.
Yeah. That was fun, though.
Do you like playing these tournaments during league play, during track? Is it just kind of a nice break and try to get some other kids some maybe innings on the mound, or what's your mentality?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I just we need to think about restructuring the schedule next year, because there's been some breaks in there that I don't necessarily like right now. So we had our last game was last Tuesday, you know, so we had a 10-day gap until today, and then we don't play again until April 5th. So, because you know, you're limited to the number of contacts that you have throughout the season. So, plus we have the Central California Showcase and the Coca-Cola Classic. You know, those are tough to schedule because you got teams from other sections that can't play at certain times. So, you know, it was kind of a scheduling nightmare this year. But I think we're going to try to rectify that moving forward.
Yeah, what is the rule right now? You play in three tournaments, and there's a cap on games.
What's 28 games, and you can play a 29th game if it's a foundation game. So 29 is basically the cap.
I think was that a few years ago in a tournament where there was a team that made the Coca-Cola championship and they weren't able to play in it, right?
Coca-Cola or Easter Classic, one of those two. Yeah, they couldn't play in the championship game which is a silly rule if you ask me. But hey, it is what it is.
are there any other? You know, obviously, the hot topic is divisions and placement. You know, football was kind of a mess with the competitive equity. You know, obviously you guys are going to be D1 no matter what, Clovis West across the board. You know, do you got an opinion on that, or do you think there needs to be some tweaks? Obviously football, you know, basketball got rectified a couple weeks before playoffs. But yeah, are there any?
I think what you just said, I think as they rectified the basketball right before the playoffs, I think that's a pretty good, you know, scenario moving forward. I do like having the eight teams in D1. And I also like the fact that you can only move up or down one division. You know, there's the Division 1 team shouldn't be playing in Division 4 for playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah, in any sport.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We saw that in a couple.
Right.
Buchanan volleyball, I think, right? And we just – yeah, I think about Dos Palos football, how they got bumped up.
At some point, you probably just need to swallow your pride and, you know, get ready for the next season.
It's a good point, talking with Kevin Patrick. Oh, we only got a couple more minutes. What would be, Kev, we talked about how solid your team is with pitching. But what would be, like, a perfect ending to the season? Obviously making the Valley Championship and winning the Valley Championship. Oh, there's going to be state playoffs this year well, right?
State playoffs.
Yeah, so what would really put a cap on this season? Obviously, we're about a third of the way, but, you know, what would be the dream part of the season?
Well, like I said, just to watch my guys continue to grow throughout the season, first of all. You've got short-term goals and you've got long-term goals. We're going to focus on the short-term goals, you know, in the immediate future. And then obviously, like you said, you know, if it culminated with a Valley Championship, that's, you know, that's the ultimate goal, you know, and then, you know, state playoffs is cherry on top. But I think winning the Valley Championships is definitely our goal.
There's not going to be a true state champion, or are they going to stick with the NorCal and SoCal?
I believe it's still the regional type
deal. The regionals, right.
Right.
Would you like to see a true state championship in baseball? Do you think that's plausible?
That'd be great. I don't see why not. The only problem you have is then you're running into graduations and, you know, the baseball season getting into end of June, you know, if you do that. So
yeah.
But I think it'd be great, you know, because you know, we do play great baseball here in the Central Valley. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, let's end on this question. So obviously you're going to the Boris Classic, you know, up north. You had that great run in 2016. Buchanan's played a couple teams north and south this year. What is the opinion of Central Section baseball that you can gather in NorCal and SoCal? Obviously, they know about the really good teams, but, you know, when you go there, what do you think the opinion is?
I think they definitely respect us, you know. I think they believe, you know, they're really confident that they play good baseball in their area. But, yeah. You know, I've got some good contacts in Northern and Southern California, and they definitely do respect us. They love coming and play at our facilities, you know, with the Buchanan Invitational tournament in the summertime. It's great. We get, you know, James Gambrell runs that, and he gets a lot of great teams to come to that. And, you know, they really respect us and what we stand for in baseball here in the Central Valley.
Good to hear. Have you met Scott Boris?
I haven't met Scott.
Have you seen him? Does he hang out?
His brother runs the tournament. Got so, it. You know, I've talked to him quite a bit, but I haven't had a chance to meet Scott.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know how that worked, right?
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, Patrick, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming on the show. Always enjoy talking with you. You guys are playing today at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Come check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles. All right. Thanks, Kevin. Really appreciate you.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, you bet. All right. Coming up after the break, Kerman, our student athlete of the week. Devin Daniels is going to be coming on, talking with him, get to know him a little bit more on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. First String Sports, man, it's the place to be. Come on down here at Blackstone and Sierra Avenues. They're awesome over here. Sean and the gang will definitely take care of all your sporting needs. You know, one of the cool things about being in the Letterman's Jacket Room here for my show is they have these chairs, these sitting chairs that have the different schools' logos on it. I'm looking at Madera Coyotes, Clovis East Timberwolves, and whatever guests I have on, I always get the chair from their school and put it right there and for a little photo op. It just got a cool little ambience there. And we just had a great conversation with Clovis West baseball coach Kevin Patrick. Kevin, this is his 15th year there. You know, the name Patrick is gold around the Central Section. His father, James, all-time winningest baseball coach in Central Section history. His brother, or, you know, Kevin's brother, Chris, is the head baseball coach at Clovis, so he's taking on that legacy, continuing the legacy at Clovis. Sticking with baseball here, we got a dude, Kerman High, Devin Daniel. He's a pitcher, four-year varsity guy. Been on varsity for 4 years. This year, Kerman's 11-0. On the mound, Devin is 6-0. ERA, a sparkling 0.45. But this is what's really impressive to me, Devin, is that K to walk ratio. I don't know. Is that do you pay much attention to that? You have a 56-5 K to walk ratio. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I try not giving the easy at-bats away, you know. I got to make them work for it.
Heck, yeah, you can't give up those walks, right? I mean, obviously the 56 strikeouts are very, very impressive, but if you had like 20 walks, it'd drive the coach crazy. Huh. But, yeah, good job keeping that walk level down right there. Yeah, so first of all, welcome, man. Congrats. I heard great things about you, not only on the mound, but as a person. I was talking to or texting Coach Coleman. Your coach at Kerman, he's like, oh, yeah, he's a great dude. You're going to have a great conversation with him. So let's talk about your team right now. You know, you've been on varsity for 4 years, right? You got a mix of young guys as well, right, and seniors. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, talk about some of your dudes and talk about your team.
I mean, the seniors right now, especially last year's team, we've played together our whole lives pretty much since, what do they call it?
Little League, pretty much.
10 years old until right now. So we have that chemistry going. And then with these little young guys coming in too, like, they're coming in strong. They're filling in the roles. They're filling it up. I mean.
And you have – I saw a couple sophomores
around
the team. And when they were – did they play varsity last year as a freshman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last year they were. I think we had Adam Delgado. He was a big role player too. He did well. And then we had Gilbert Acosta as well, our catcher. He's a dog back there. And, yeah, I mean.
So he's your catcher,
yeah,
Acosta?
Uh-huh.
So how important is that to have somebody behind home plate that you trust?
I mean, that's all it is trust right there. I mean, I'm not afraid to throw any pitch wherever I can. I mean, spotting up, as long as he's back there helping me out, I mean, I'm going to have trust in him, and I'm going to be comfortable with him back there, and that's when I'm going to perform my best.
That's very important, right? You know when you got it, maybe there's a runner on third, and you get that curveball, you're like, oh, okay, I can maybe throw this down a little bit. My guy's going to block it, right?
Yep, that's what it's all about right there.
So you talked about how you've played with these guys since you were 10 years old, right? What and you played in the Kerman Little League,
yeah,
that area. What was baseball like when you were younger?
I mean, when we were younger, we didn't really see the outside. We just saw each other, and we just wanted to – you know, beat each other up as bad as possible. And then later, to come to be teammates, we all joke around about it. And, I mean, we all just sharpened each other, made each other better. And that's all I thought was what it was all about right there.
How about some of your teammates I'm thinking more of your seniors. Like, did you guys know, or you guys look forward to your senior year? Like, hey, this is our senior year. We got to do something special this year. Do you guys come together at the beginning of the year and say anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. We always stay together. Like, this senior group that we have, we're all really close to each other. So we're all friends. Like, we all talk to each other. We all have those serious conversations and stuff. And we know when it's time to go. And, yeah, we get with it.
Is game day just like the best feeling ever when you wake up in the morning, especially when you're going to pitch? Just describe like the night before and how excited you get on game day.
I mean, the night before, I don't exactly get excited. I try to get my mentality ready, though, like, because this is, I think of this pitching as a job for me now. So this is my job. I'm going to do as best as I can at it. I'm going to prepare myself mentally as good as I can and just go out having a dog mentality. That's what I try having. Yeah.
What is your favorite? What is your most memorable game that you've played in during high school so far?
Honestly, memorable. Every game I have, there's always something about it. But most memorable, I want to say it was probably my freshman year against Chowchilla, and this is when I was barely coming in. Chowchilla had some dudes, some big guys, and they were already calling me out and stuff. And I was like, okay, this is what they're about. And I come in and I shove the whole game, put up a zero for them, and then we won that game 1-0.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It was pretty great.
Not backing down as a freshman, are you?
That's nobody.
And you had a really awesome pitching matchup earlier this year, a game that we had on 1430 ESPN against Washington Union, right? Against Trey Morris.
Yeah, he's a good one.
He's a good one, huh? And you guys came out on top 2-1.
Yes, sir.
What was your mentality going into that game? Were you just like, man, I got to shove this game?
I mean, yeah, that's what I think every game, but most I just try staying calm and collective, just thinking it's another game, you know, just another league opponent, you know, just got to treat it like it's nothing really. But then in my head, I always treat every time when I'm on the mound, I'm going after him, you know. So I'm always having that little urge to, you know, fight extra hard whenever I'm on the mound and stuff. So, yeah.
That's awesome. What's your favorite pitch?
Oh, honestly, my curveball. that's the hammer right there, man.
When have you made some hitters look pretty silly with that curveball?
Oh, yeah.
You got a 12-6 curveball? Yep. Or what is it? Start and just dive down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little hard biter.
When I talked to Coach Kevin Patrick, he mentioned that he got a couple hits off of Barry Zito. I don't know if you know who Barry Zito was, probably before your time, but he was a lefty, and he had one of those nasty curveballs. So when we get done with this interview, I promise you, you're going to go to YouTube, you're going to look up Barry Zito, right? You're going to see how his curveball breaks. I mean, compare 100%. It to yours.
Yes, sir.
All right. You didn't pitch this week, did you? It just kind of didn't line up for you, or just got the week off, or what?
Yeah, just giving the arm some rest, because against Washington Union, I think I threw about around like 100 pitches or so. So, yeah, just resting up this week, you know, getting right, getting my arm right again, and making sure we're ready for next week's opponent as well.
And it looks like you're playing Liberty on Tuesday. Are you going to throw in that game?
I believe so, yeah.
All right. How did you guys do in playoffs last year?
Last year, actually, we were doing pretty good. Yeah. Our team, last year, we were great. Chemistry was there. I mean, we were running a lot of teams and stuff. And then Come Valley, it was just tough. We couldn't seal the deal, man.
you guys got upset that, you know, last year. What is your favorite Major League Baseball team right now?
My team, always, since I was a little kid, I don't care about their record or nothing. I'm a Giants fan till I die, man.
What do you mean? They won like 106 games last year. You guys had a great year.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a great year. Who are your favorite Major League Baseball players right now?
I mean, a former Giant, I always used to look up to him, lefty Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
That used to be my guy. When I was growing up watching the Giants, that was the dude that was always on the mound, the dude I was always looking at. I'd compare myself to him, too, just because he was a lefty. That was my favorite guy right there and still is to this day.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We got a special guest. We got on the line. We got your coach. Coach Coleman, how you doing? I think you're in Dinuba right now watching a little basketball.
Yes, I am.
So I got a young man. Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. I got a young man sitting next to me. I think you know who he is, Devin Daniel, one of your stars. Yeah, so just talk about this kid, not only what he brings to the program, but off the field. Obviously, he's a well-spoken young man and very respectful. So talk about this guy right here.
So, going back to his first game, that the one that he says is most memorable, the Chachilla's pitcher was Hickman. He was a mid-80s guy from the right side, had a great slider. And that game was definitely one of my most memorable for that kid because he kind of cemented himself into the league. And I'm pretty sure that was a game that won him pitcher of the league as a freshman in our league. I mean, as a freshman to win pitcher of the league was impressive. And it was a 75-pitch, 13K performance, so I do remember the stats on it. But this guy, every day, comes out. He's been a natural leader ever since he stepped on the field. You know, you see those guys, you walk out there, and you know he's just going to be somebody that's going to be special. And we knew it right away. You know, I know you had Alan Sandoval on last week talking about Murph and talking with Murph a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I remembered back. When I saw that Murph threw his perfect game and Devin threw a perfect game last year against Fireball, Alan and I talking in the fall about how special these two guys would be, and to see both of them succeeding and excelling at where they are, it's just really special to see the hard work that these kids put in and to see it come to fruition. So this kid, he means everything. You know, I mean, he keeps the kids together. He knows when to get out of line. You know, there's that old saying that good teams are coached by their coaches, and the great teams are the ones that are disciplined by their teammates, and he's always been the one, you know, and he keeps them together. Everybody looks to him, and I mean, there's not much to say except he's got a – you were talking about the strikeouts to walks ratio this year. His career numbers are 242 strikeouts to 27 walks.
Ooh.
So, I mean, it's pretty much video game stuff. The guy's just special, you know.
Talk about his, you know, coming in as a freshman on varsity. I've talked to a lot of coaches and a lot of players that have been put in that position, and just the maturity that it takes and the acceptance. I think that's always a big thing that, you know, a freshman coming in, you know, was there a big adjustment for him, or did he just, you know, he's talked about his job-like mentality that he has. Is that what he brought as a freshman?
It's exactly what you're going to get every time. You know, his focus, and when you look at him before a game, you know you're going to get the best effort every single time. There's no deviating from that. I mean, his focus is spot on. I don't know if there's many other guys that are as focused and knowing what he wants to do better than him. I mean, his first appearance was against Selma. Selma had a good team that year. We ended up losing the game. We made a couple of errors. He threw 5 innings under the lights, first game of the year as a freshman, 10 Ks. You know? I mean, it didn't matter. Nothing is too big for him. And I think that's what makes him special. It doesn't matter who we play. He goes out and does his job. It doesn't matter who he faces. And, you know, that's what we preach to the guys a lot. That Union game was hyped up a lot, and our guys did a fantastic job, and Devin did a fantastic job of keeping his cool. I do remember, and Devin will remember this, he had a very special year as a freshman. We ended up losing to Napomo in the first round, and a kid hit a home run off them, and it was the first home run he had given up. And he came in the dugout, got upset, and the most upset I've ever seen him. And ever since that moment, I got on him a little bit about it. He has taken every bit of adversity, gotten a ball from the umpire, whatever it takes, gets back up on the mound and gets better. And I think that's what makes him so difficult. You know, when things get tough, he gets better. And it's just a testament to who he is.
That's fantastic. You just talk about his maturity, not only on the diamond, but as a person. That's amazing. Talking with Jared Coleman, the head coach at Kerman. We had Devin Daniels, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. But he certainly sounds like a guy that you're going to miss and that you've certainly enjoyed over the last 4 years or 3 years plus. Talk about some of your other players. I know Devin mentioned that this group of seniors is, you know, has played ball together since they were young. But you also have a mix of young guys as well. So from your perspective, obviously you guys are 11-0. You guys haven't been beat this year. But how you like your team so far?
You know, day in and day out, these kids come out and they're focused. We have fun. They know when to reel themselves in. It's got to be one of our most complete teams we've had in a very long time. I think it's pretty much the best start we've ever had in school history. You know, they just go out there and do their job and come out on the other side the right way. And that's all we preach about every day, is doing the right thing every day, and it's going to continue to pay off for you. And talking about some of the guys, a guy that's been huge this year at first base, seeing his opportunity every day, is Giovanni Grippetti. You know, he's stepped into a role, into that 3-4 hole, and has done a fantastic job for us. He talked about Adam Delgado. Last year he was 6-1. The only loss he got tagged for was in the section championship game because we made an error. I'm pretty sure he only gave up one or two earned runs last year. He was 6-1 as a freshman, and he's 2-0 this year, and I think in about 20 innings and hasn't given up an earned run this year. Gilbert Acosta, behind the plate, the kid's matured fantastically defensively. His bat's just about as dangerous as it comes from the left side. And his maturity has gotten there as well. Third baseman, Nick Garcia, has stepped in into a spot where we had a fantastic third baseman last year, and Nick has done such a good job defensively for us. Dominic Quince is a shortstop. He's a fantastic guy. He's going to St. Mary's as well. Rolled his ankle the other day on a ball off the fence at 370, and so we're hoping that everything's okay with that kid. But defensively, you don't find many better shortstops than that kid. Delgado plays second when he's not on the mound, along with Kevin Chavez and Dario Zavala. Outfielders, we've got a platoon of them. We got Jaden Gonzalez out in right field, who's also been on the mound. He's 3-0 on the mound with a 1.17 ERA. He's a senior. Aiden Olivares is in left field. He's hitting 350 for us. He's a freshman. He's done a fantastic job for us. I mean, we can keep going on about depth. Kevin Chavez has flipped to our leadoff hitter. He got the game-winning RBI against Morris in the seventh. And I know he's only about a buck 10, but that kid is going to give you all of that buck 10 every single play. So we got guys that are going to give up their bodies. I mean, we've had a bunch of unconventional double plays yesterday. You know, our pitching, you know, it wasn't as sharp. And our Gonzalez in right field makes a dive, gets up, and doubles a guy off second base. You know, it's just guys willing to give up their bodies, willing to give up their bats. Speaking about character, another thing about Devin the other day is we were up on the team, and I was like, you know, I need to get a kid in a bat. And he smacked his chest and said, let him have mine. I mean, that just goes to show you the kind of people and the kind of kids that these are. Ever since that game last year when we lost 3-2 to Ridgeview, these kids have been determined to get back there, and they're doing a really good job of it.
Oh, great stuff. Jarrett Coleman, thanks for taking the time. Talk about Devin. You're there in my hometown where I grew up in Dinuba, yeah. California. Are you you at the high school? You at the junior high? Where are you at right now?
We're at the junior high, and gosh dang, your basketball program's fantastic.
Yeah, Dinuba does a really good job. Yeah, good thanks news. For jumping on, and yeah, good luck. Good luck the rest of the way. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on you guys.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Man, your coach had some good stuff to say about you, Devin. was that good to hear that how well you're respected? You know, when you have your coach saying glowing things about you, doesn't that just kind of put a cap on all the hard work that you've done?
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. It's just grateful for it, man, you know, giving me all these opportunities as a freshman as well, too, bringing me in, you know, having this trust with me. It means a lot, really.
And, you know, you spoke of that moment how you gave up your at-bat to a kid that might not get a lot of at-bats this year, but also the maturity factor where you were mad after giving up a home run your freshman year, but you learned from it, right? You learned to keep that emotion in. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, too, about St. Mary's. We got to talk about St. Mary's. Did you have other interests from other schools? Were they interested in you? Or
One other school I was talking with a bit was San Jose State.
Okay.
But other than that, not too much, because, I mean, I did lack in the role of reaching out to go and, you know, really looking at these schools, trying to get them to look at me and stuff. But, St. Mary's, they showed a lot of interest, and they showed, like, they work with me. They told me dedication and all that, and, yeah, I went with it, especially because their head coach right now is a former Team USA pitching coach.
Yeah.
And I'm going over there to be a pitcher as well, and it just feels like a spot I could call home.
And you visited the campus?
Yeah, it's great over there, man.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. All right, couple more questions. What is your – are you superstitious at all? Do you like – when you go out to pitch, you jump over the chalk line, or do you do anything before a pitch, or do you have anything like that out there on the field?
I try to stay away from superstition just because if I break them, you know, I'm going to feel all crazy. But but one that I do have is when I am going on the mound, I do like a little skip over like the baseline right there. I do have like a little skip, and then I stare into the stands and find one person and try to look at them in the eyes for like a couple of seconds. Even though they're not looking at me or anything, I try to just focus in on them. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I look away, I'm zoned in.
You're zoned in.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite pregame meal? Some of your games are starting at 3 o'clock. You got night games as well sometimes, right? So like 6 or 6:30. But do you have a go-to to get your energy up or anything?
I mean, all I'd say, not really too much, just because I do have a little stomach issue with fructose intolerance. So, I mean, sugars and stuff, I can't really have that or else it'd be bad.
Might get a little too hyped up there or something like that, right?
But usually I just try to stick with like a simple little peanut butter sandwich and then a little water or something like that. So, yeah, just to keep me good.
Okay, simple.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, Devin, this has been amazing. This has been a lot of fun. Congratulations on your year so far. Signing with St. Mary's. Your coach said glowing things about you. Nothing but the best for you in the future.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking with an NFL guy. Andre Chacheret is going to be on the phone. Talk about his time at Clovis West, San Jose State, and, of course, with the Philadelphia Eagles. Really looking forward to this conversation with Andre. Coming up on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Meaders, here at First String Sports. Had a great conversation with Devin Daniel, Kerman Baseball. Kerman 11-0 on the season. And our next guest, I am super excited about having him on. I've never met him personally, but I've had a couple text exchanges with him. I had a conversation with him about 4 years ago. Know his family well, covered his brother at Clovis West. Dante Chacheret is his brother. Andre Chacheret, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to talk to you. How's it going, man?
It's going good, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So right now, you're home in Fresno. You're working out. So how your workouts been going before you go back to camp with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Oh man, everything's going good right now. You know, right after the season, like to take things pretty slow, enjoy family time and all that stuff. But you know, around this time right here is when I start to get back in shape, start ramping it all back up, getting ready, get my body ready for the season.
Is there a specific place that you work out around here? You just do it by yourself, or you get with some guys, or what?
Yeah, so the place I go to is called Primetime Performance Training, and I've been working out there since my, I want to say, sophomore year of high school, and every summer since. I mean, that's where I'm at, working out.
I want to talk about your journey to the NFL, to the Philadelphia Eagles. You were, we had that conversation when you were picked up by the Texans. So you were picked up by the Texans, waived by Houston, picked up by the Lions, waived by the Lions, Arizona, Carolina, the Colts. I thought you were going to you were on the Colts team, right? I remember we were so excited when you were on the 53 man. Is it 53 or 52? And then, things happen. The business side of football happens. You get released. I'm sure that was a shock. But then you get picked up by the Eagles. And, man, I mean, your career just took off. So I just want to talk about the journey, right? The journey that you've had and just your keeping up your spirits and your never say die attitude. What propelled you, to this moment where you're a member of the NFL Philadelphia Eagles?
Oh man, it's crazy. I mean, shoot, the journey has been crazy. I was it was six teams in 4 years, and I mean, shoot, we could probably talk for about 30 minutes just about that. but you know, it's been crazy, man. But the thing is, I've enjoyed every moment of it. I don't take anything for granted. Growing up, we didn't have everything that everybody always wants, but I've always found joy in the little things in life. You know, just
having food at night, you know, having a bed to sleep in, things like that. So from a very young age, I've always found the joy in the little things. So for me, you know, I've been on teams getting cut. You know, I haven't played until this past year, but it's like, for me, it was, hey, you're still in the NFL. You're still living your dream. So no matter what, at the end of the day, like, you were able to play at least one down in the NFL. So I'm for that, I'll always be happy. And, you know, whatever, wherever this journey takes me, I mean, I'll always have that with me.
And when you were – what was the meetings like when you were being released by these teams? Like, what is that feeling like? Afterwards, are you kind of depressed? Are you like, man, well, it's just another step in my journey?
Well, in the beginning, the first time it happened, and it's crazy because the five, however, I don't even know how many times I've been cut now, but every time that it's happened, it's never been because of a lack of production or anything like that, yeah. Or I haven't been performing. It's always, you know, we have too many of your position. We need another position, so we got to let you go type of thing. So, you know, the first time I got cut by Houston, hearing that, you know, I didn't really understand that. So I thought it was something that I was doing or something that I wasn't doing at practice and things like that. So to me, that first time was a huge, huge shock. I was like, wow, maybe, you know, I'm not as good as I thought I was type of thing. But, you know, the more I heard that from teams, like, hey, it's nothing you're doing. It's just a numbers game. It's like, okay, well, you know, I'll find my opportunity elsewhere then.
Who inspired you through some of those times? Did you have conversations with your wife or with your family? Were there other players that you got feedback from? Like, man, tell me how to get through this time.
I mean, yeah, everywhere I've been, there's always been multiple guys that kind of had something similar, you know, being cut here and there. So definitely guys on the team that have helped. But, you know, for me, it's big, big family. I'm a big family guy. So, you know, my mom, my four brothers, my dad, you know, my wife, have all been huge, huge, you know, been able to help me so much in that, you know, just kind of keep going. Your journey's not over. You can do it. Keep going. Keep putting your best foot forward type of thing.
So when you finally landed with the Eagles, what was that process like? Because they swooped up and picked you up pretty quick, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that was crazy because so the head coach there and the defensive coordinator there, they were with me in Indianapolis. So I had a connection with them through that from the year before when I was on the Colts practice squad. And, yeah, like you said, you know, initially I made the Colts 53-man roster, but I probably only made it for, you know, 15 hours. It wasn't even a full day that I made it. So, you know, getting cut there. And then probably later that day I got a message from the defensive coordinator in Philly, like, hey, sorry about what happened, but, you know, I'm going to try to get you over here. And, you know, I ended up, you know, talking to those guys and, you know, they told me there was an opportunity for me to play. And I was like, well, that's all I've been waiting for. And they knew what I could do from seeing me, you know, every day in practice in Indy. So they're like, you know, we want you to bring that over here. And, you know, they blessed me with that opportunity to play.
Talking with Andre Chacheret, Clovis West grad, San Jose State. What have the Eagles told you about your role for next season? Because you signed a one-year contract, right?
Yes. So my role, you know, they kind of let me know, like, hey, we saw what, you know, this is your first year playing, and you did a good job on special teams. We want to see, you know, if you can go even further than that, you know what I mean? Possibly, you know, be a captain or Pro Bowl, something like that. You know, those are definitely my goals. And, you know, when I sit down and talk with them and we talk about goals, you know, they agree with me, like, hey, we think you could do these things. And then, you know, as far as defense, it's just getting more reps, getting more opportunities. You know, I didn't do I did well the opportunities that I had on defense, and, you know, they want me to expand on that.
So talk about practice squad, right? I remember mm-hmm. we had that conversation a few years back, and just let people know what the practice squad looks like. You guys are practicing with the team, but the preparation as well, because you never know when you're going to be activated, right? How does that work? Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the practice squad guys, you know, you're sitting in meetings, you're doing everything, taking notes on the guys that, you know, whoever you're playing that week. But to go along with that, you're also watching film of the other team's defense, because you have to prepare, or for me, I would you know, prepare, like, okay, say we're playing, say if I was, you know, somewhere else and we were playing Philly, okay, well, I need to see how Darius Slay plays so I can imitate that in practice for the offense, you know. So I have to watch film on the guys we're playing and, you know, on ourselves. So I'm like, oh, man, you know, this, that right there is a handful. And then, you know, in practice, you're doing all the scout team reps, every special team rep. So it's a lot of grinding, a lot of preparation on your body. And then you never know if you're going to get activated that week or not. So you have to be locked in on who you're playing. So it's definitely a lot of preparation.
When the Eagles told you that you were going to suit up and play in your first NFL game, what did that look like, and how emotional were you?
Oh, man, it was crazy. I remember walking in the building and, you know, first meetings we have are special teams meetings. I walk in there and, you know, I look up on the depth chart and, like, you know, starting on punt, my name was first. I was like, wait, me? Like, wait, that's my name. So, you know, as soon as we get out of the meeting, you know, I'm texting my wife, my mom. I'm like, I think I'm starting this week. Like, it was the craziest thing. And, you know, I get home and I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, I think it's actually happening. Like, it's crazy. And, you know, my wife is like, wait, are you serious? Like, are you sure it's you? I'm like, I think so. So it was crazy. I mean, but I'll never forget that moment running out the tunnel. I mean, actually, I had tears running down my face. It was definitely a dream come true for honestly.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And I know your parents are very supportive. I've talked to your mom a lot.
Oh, yeah.
She loves to post on social media. That's my son. That's my son right there. Yeah. So that's fun to see. Yeah. So do you remember? So did you guys, so you were on punt teams and kickoff teams?
Yeah. So I was, I started on every special teams. Yeah.
Okay. So did you guys, to start the game, did you guys kick off or did you have to wait a little bit to hit somebody?
So I remember the very first game, I didn't start the very first kickoff, but I started the very first punt. So I remember running out there and I was like, all right, this is what you've been waiting for. And I actually ended up making a great play on the very first play. And then after that, the nerves were gone and I was like, oh yeah, this is easy. I can do this.
So you're playing the gunner position, right? So you're on the outside.
Yeah.
What's your mentality? Because sometimes I'm seeing, you know, guys get double teamed. They're getting roughed up. Mm-hmm. They're getting pushed out of bounds. So what's the mentality that you have to have when you're in that position?
Oh, yeah. I'd definitely say that as far as, you know, special teams-wise, that's probably one of the hardest positions that I've seen is that gunner position. It's a dog fight, man, especially when there's two people out there, you know, they have you vice and you really can't, there's no way to go.
Yeah.
Because they're splitting you. So there's no way to go. But man, I say the biggest thing is just, you kind of have to have a plan when you get there. Look, even if they cut this off, I'm still going to try to make it that way. And it, like, a big thing with it is, you know, you got to be strong, got to be pretty fast to do that stuff. And, yeah, man, that's the biggest thing. It's a dogfight. Every time I go out there, it's like, all right, here we go. Got to make a play.
So the final game, you guys extended the season to 18 games this year, right? And
yeah.
So that's a long season. But your final game, week 18, play the Dallas Cowboys, right? And, again, see your name up there, and you're going to start, right?
Yep.
So describe that game and what it was like and the feelings that you're going to start on defense.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, and, you know, we're playing the Cowboys, our rival. You know, growing up, it's like everybody knows who the Cowboys are. It's like, well, I'm starting against these guys. You know, guys I watched playing, you know, when I was in high school, college, growing up, like Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. I'm like, oh, man, like watching film on these guys, like, wow, I'm starting, you know, it's crazy. I'll never forget that first game. I remember very first play, Ezekiel, it was a handoff run play. Ezekiel had it running downhill and I came up, boom, solo tackle on him.
Yep. I remember I was like, watching it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man. I was like, oh, I could do this. Yeah. I could do special teams. I could do defense. Oh, I'm good now.
What now that you've had some time to reflect on the season, Obviously, you're a very joyful guy, and you feel very, very blessed. But do you have to pinch yourself sometimes? You know, you mentioned, man, is this really happening? Is this really happening? But, you know, reflecting on that, you just have to pinch yourself and say how blessed you are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a wonderful support system. You know, my family, like I mentioned before, who constantly lets me know that. You know what I mean? They don't never let me get, you know, too big-headed or anything like that, even though that's not the type of guy I am. But, yeah, I mean, I'm so blessed just to be in this opportunity. Like I said, I've played, you know, it took me 5 years or 4 years to play, you know, six teams. And, you know, if it were to all end tomorrow, you know, I'd be more than happy with the journey that I've been on.
Who are some guys that you've gotten close to in the NFL? Who are some names that we recognize? Like, yeah, that's a cool guy.
Definitely some of the guys that I met that I, you know, talk to every now and then. Tyrann Mathieu would be one of them. You know, Darius Slay. You know, those guys right there are some of the most down-to-earth people that I've met. And, you know, people, oh, man, you know, those are some big names and they got to be superstars. But, you know, they're just regular people. And they've given me a lot of football advice as well as life advice as well.
Yeah, I've heard that before, talking to different people in the journalism business about mm-hmm. pro players. Just like what you said, they're just regular people too. They're just like you and mm-hmm. I, but they just have a special talent and they've made it to the highest level. What is something in the, you know, playing in the NFL that most people don't understand?
Mm-hmm. I would say probably, you know, the preparation during the week. We only do something physical, like practice, probably only maybe an hour and a half, you know, a day. And, you know, our work days are probably close to like 10 hours long. And everything else we do is, you know, meetings. So everything is mental. So, you know, a majority of the day, you know, while I'm at work is all mental stuff. And it's not as physical as everybody thinks. You know, we only practice for an hour, hour and a half. And, you know, then when you get home, it's like, okay, well, I need to watch even more film, you take even more notes. So there's another 2.5-3 hours. So, you know, I've spent the whole day, you know, worked out for 45 minutes, had practice for an hour and a half. But everything else that I've done to prepare for the game on Sunday is all mental work, all taking notes, you know, watching film and stuff like that. So I feel like some people sometimes kind of forget about that part of it, how mental the game is.
Let's go through what game day looks like. I'm very curious about that. So let's say, East Coast, right? So for us, mm-hmm. it'd be 10 a.m. East Coast games mm-hmm. at 1. What does that morning look like, the preparation? What mm-hmm. time do you get up? Do you eat breakfast? What time do you get to the stadium? What's that look like?
So for me, I usually get up around 8:30-ish, going to eat a big breakfast. You know, I'm a big French toast guy, so I got to have at least 3 or 4 pieces of that. you know, got to eat a big breakfast. And then usually after that, I head right to the stadium probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And, you know, I kind of do a lot of mental stuff. So, you know, I'm sitting there reviewing my notes again, you know, doing stuff like that, watching film one last time. And then probably around 11 o'clock-ish, I go walk around the field, just kind of, you know, picture myself making plays in certain positions, you know, head back into the locker room around 12 o'clock. Everybody's, you know, putting our shoulder pads and everything on now. And then we go out there, warm up for about 20, 30 minutes, and we go back into the locker room. Coach gives a speech. One of the players usually talks to us. And then, shoot, it's about game time then.
Talking with Andre Shasherway. We only got a couple minutes. This is great insight into the life of the NFL guy and what that looks like. Oh, so after the game, so let's say, you know, your game ends at 4:30. What's that look like after the game? You talk to media, you know, get your shower, get dressed, and go have something else to eat?
Yeah, so usually after the game, you know, the high performers of the game usually have those little media questions that they got to answer and whatnot. But, you know, usually I just hop right in the car, shower, hop right in the car, go pick up the wife and the kids, and we go somewhere and eat. You know, pretty easy day. And then, you know, usually when the kids go to sleep, they'll replay the games and you know, I'll sit there with my wife. Oh, my gosh, I should have had this tackle right there. You know, that's usually how our night ends.
Who are some players that obviously you're competing against these guys or you're playing alongside, but who are some guys you're like, oh, man, that guy is just an otherworld talent? Obviously, you know, you had that playoff game against Tom Brady, right? So
yeah,
there's some other guys.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just seeing Tom Brady and how he works out there, you know, it's crazy. But I remember being in Houston. One of those guys was DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, just seeing the things that he does in practice and then how he, you know, elevates it even more during the game is crazy. Just the things that he does, you know, catching the ball. And even after he catches the ball, the things that he can do is wild. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I get to play against him soon or something like that. But yeah, he's one of those guys where it's like, wow, he does this all the time.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. One last question. Well, maybe, I don't know. That's how much time we got. Yeah, this has been a fantastic conversation with Andre Chacharet. Who is your team growing up? Who did you root for, and who are some of your players growing up?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my younger brother about this earlier today, and I was like, hey, did we really have a favorite team growing up? And he's like, I really don't think so. I think we just kind of used to watch who was ever on the TV. So I really never had a team, you know, growing up or anything like that. But I know one of the players that I used to love watching was, or I would watch the old highlights of, would be like Barry Sanders and LaDainian Tomlinson. Because younger, I was a running back up until high school. So I was like, oh man, I got to be like one of these guys when I grow up.
What about Deion Sanders?
Oh yeah, and obviously Deion, just the way, you know, when I got to high school, you know, I used to trash talk a little bit, so I used to try to watch Deion Sanders stuff and say some of the things he would say and try to be like him out there.
Yeah, Deion's amazing. Prime time. Andre, yep. This has been a fantastic conversation. Unfortunately, our time is up. Really appreciate you. I followed your career, you know, even at San Jose State, and then your journey through the NFL. Just really, we're very, very proud of you and appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and let us know how's it going.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. All right, that was Andre Chacharet. Clovis West, San Jose State, Philadelphia Eagles. Great conversation with him. You can go back and listen to every show in the past. Just go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report, and you can listen to all the shows. All right, coming up, we're going to wrap everything up after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
This has been the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Every Saturday, 10 to 12. The time always flies by. I have so much fun talking about high school sports. Just talk to Andre Chacharet, member of the Philadelphia Eagles, Clovis West grad, San Jose State. I know that's Fresno State's rival. He went to San Jose State. And his journey to the NFL, it's amazing. He's been cut. He couldn't even remember. He's been cut so many times from the practice squad. And like he said, most of the time it was just a business decision. But he stuck with it. Got to play for the Philadelphia Eagles all year. Got to play in a playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. But, you know, those are the stories that we love to bring you here on the Central Valley Sports Report. You know, just very, very inspirational and very, very glad that Andre took the time to talk to us. Follow him. Even though he plays for the Philadelphia Eagles and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, I could still root for him. Thank you to First String Sports. They're awesome down here. Blackstone and Sierra, come on down here. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful Saturday. Come on down here and pick up some sporting good stuff. Thank you to Kevin Patrick, Clovis West baseball coach. They play today at home at 2:00. They are currently 7-2, ranked 30th in the state by Cal High Sports. So thanks to Kevin. Always great to talk to him. Thank you to Gabe Camarillo back at home base for producing the show and jumping on as always, talking about baseball, a little bit about Fresno State football. Thank you to Devin Daniels, Kerman High pitcher. Excellent. One of the top pitchers in the Central Section. You know, Gabe and Gonzo broadcasted their game against Washington Union, and they said, yeah, Devin is as good as we've seen in the Central Section. So congrats to Devin for being our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. And, of course, thanks to Andre Chacheret for jumping on. And thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you. Love all the feedback. Love talking high school sports. Until next time, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything you do, and leave it all in the field. Talk to you soon.
Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.